whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Life advice from our very own John Jansen.
Yeah, no teasers today.
No, you're in the dark.
Uh-huh.
You have no idea what's coming. If you want to send some questions in, dearjohnjansen@gmail.com. Heather, why don't we start out?
Well, the first one, John, is a dating question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Dear John, where do you stand on first dates? I'm on the apps trying to meet girls, and if I get a match that goes well, I usually ask them out for drinks. I had some friends who are girls tell me that's a cop-out, and if they're going to get all dressed up, I should be offering to take them out for food. What do you think? Am I doing it all wrong?
No, I think first date's perfect for... let's meet for coffee. Let's meet for a drink. Let's meet for something that the investment isn't necessarily there. On either side, it allows the dater and the datee an easy out. And if things hit, it may be let's meet for drinks at, 5 o'clock, right? When we get out of work, all right?
Happy hour.
And then if things go well, hey, do you want to grab dinner? I actually reserved us a table.
Oh.
One that you can say, hey, let's... sit down and let's take us to the next step, which is dinner. Maybe, I don't know, who knows?
Maybe
next
dessert,
step.
Maybe dessert.
Right.
Dessert,
yeah.
Hey, there you go.
I agree with you, John. As a girl, I think that is totally acceptable. I actually like that because, okay, on the apps, I've never actually been on them, but you can talk and look a certain way. And if you go and you don't actually have a good connection, it is an easy way to say, like, you know what? Thank you for the drinks. I'm out. And then also it's easy to say, hey, this went really well. Should we have some dinner? Do you want to get some appetizers? Do you want whatever? It can extend to more.
I think if this is an online dating sort of thing or an app dating sort of thing, I think it's 100% the way to go. If it's you're somebody in your life that you have known an acquaintance or you've met through other friends, you know them a little bit more, you've had actual human interaction with them, then I think dinner, that's the route you go for the first date is dinner because you know more about them, and I just think that's a little bit easier.
I think dinner is more formal as opposed to drinks is more casual. Yep. But drinks are low pressure. And you have a drink or two, you loosen up, and you see if you connect or not. And if you don't, you don't. And you can end that date much easier than you're midway through dinner and you are not compatible or you don't like the other person or they don't look like that. Whatever the reason is, drinks are the move.
I think it's all about your hopes of what this individual is. If you have no idea, it's drinks, it's coffee, it's whatever. If you're like, okay, you know what? Hey, maybe this could be something. Then maybe it's Dan Campbell's Applebee's. If it's somebody that you're like, well, I really am trying to make an impression, then it's Capital Grill or something of that nature.
This next one, inheritance. Dear John, last fall, my wife's dad passed away suddenly. He was a kind, funny man and very generous. My wife's an only child and her mom passed away when she was younger, so he left us everything. Home, boat, couple classic cars, assets over $1 million. My wife wants to use the money for her to retire, but would expect me to keep working for a while longer. For context, we're both in our early 50s. She wants to enjoy life more, and the money is from her family. I just think it's selfish to expect me to keep working when we could both work a little longer and retire when it makes sense for both of us as a team. How would you handle this?
Get over yourself. Keep working. It's all a matter of conversation. What are conversations you've had to this point about money? And money is one of the great debates in almost any relationship, especially a marriage. And if you don't have that sorted out by that time, I mean, it's time to have those conversations. And you certainly tell her how you feel, but reserve the right to let her say, this is from my family. It's my money and I'm going to retire, but you need to keep up your end of the bargain. I have no problem either way.
I mean, it's her dad's money.
Yeah.
Like, it is her father's money. I do agree with you, John. You have to have a conversation, right? You're in a relationship together. There's got to be good conversation about how you're going to use this money. But did you say how long
they've been married?
It doesn't say.
Okay, because that could be another game changer as well. I mean, if you haven't been married that long or if you're in a place in your marriage where you're like, I don't really know if this is going to finish well, certainly you keep it on your side.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough. It's his money once it's inherited. If they get divorced, he gets half of it, right?
That's not necessarily true.
It would depend, right?
But, well, it's not. Yes, it would be assets that were attained during the course of the marriage, but it's there are some legal legalese there.
Yeah, I guess I just look at it like you guys are partners. Mm-hmm. You're a team. You should be on the same team. And I would feel weird forcing my partner to work if they didn't want to and you had the means to not work. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they're also in their 50s. Like, I mean, I understand everybody
they're
wants
close
to retire.
To retirement age. Yeah. One could retire before the other.
Or scale back.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's normal.
I get what you're saying. I understand. Yeah. I think they're a good conversation would have to come of this.
Yes.
Last
one. Getting back at my husband. Dear John, my husband is taking a trip with his guy friends later this month out to Colorado to go on a snowboarding trip for 4 days. While I believe it's healthy and I'm happy for him to get away and have some fun, that means I'm going to be left alone with our two kids who are both under 5 years old. He says that I should go and schedule a girls' trip for this spring, so it's fair. But John, I don't really want to do that. It's not something I desire to go do. Plus, I don't exactly trust him to be on top of everything with the kids. What's the best way to handle this?
First of all, trust your husband to be on top of everything with the kids. It's okay if he calls in reserves. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. I'm like, all of these things are great to resources to be able to have. And it's not his fault if the other partner doesn't want to take a trip. Doesn't mean he shouldn't. In fact, there are a lot of times when I go away for a fishing trip. I understand it puts a lot of pressure on my wife. Mm-hmm. When I come home, I am a much nicer individual for a much more extended period of time because I've had the opportunity to hang out with my buddies, to do something that I have a great passion for. And so I think there's a little bit of a give and take, but I think the main thing is this individual either needs to find a way to take time for herself. If it's not a girls' trip, in other ways, and it doesn't have to be a 4-day trip. It doesn't have to be 4 days in a row. It can be other times where, hey, I'm going to be gone for a day because I'm going to the spa, or I'm going to go get my hair done, or I need a girl's day to myself, and trust him to have all the bases covered. They're his kids too. He loves them just as much. He may not do it the way mom wants to do it, but it will get done.
Yeah, I think if you're a parent, you don't get enough free time. Anything you can do to carve out and help the other person out. It might not be a 4 or 5 day vacay to Miami with the girls, but if it could be a day, a half day, an evening.
More than happy to jump in, take care of all the stuff, and hey, you need your time as well.
I agree. The wife does deserve at least 4 days to herself.
But it doesn't have to be at the same time. Yeah.
No, not at all.
And the big thing here is husband's got to be able to take care of his own kids without mom.
Yes, there's no question. And I have full faith that this individual would be able to do that.
All right, that's Dear John. It's 97.1. Pistons win going away. Mark Champion on the call. They've won 5 in a row, and the year of Detroit continues. Not a loss between the Pistons, Red Wings, or Lions. Good morning, winners.
Mm-hmm.
See how long it lasts, but it's a good time right now. And it does feel like the Pistons are doing everything right, to the point where I'm starting to remind people, if they play well enough to make the playoffs, they actually lose their first round pick.
Right.
They owe it to the Knicks in the next couple seasons here.
It's a little different losing your first round pick than losing a coordinator, but it is the price of being a good team.
And
having to live with bad deals that were made before.
And what am I supposed to say? Miss the playoffs so you can get in the lottery again?
Right,
no, let's see Cade turn a corner, some vets, some shooting, all that good stuff. We have some ticket text from Dear John. And at 9:35, we are going to get back into that coordinator conversation. If Spielman were to take the Jets gig, and he's interviewing for it, which coordinator would you want him to take? Well, I guess which one don't you want him to take? However you want to answer that. But he may want Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn. Which one do you hope he takes? We'll get to that at 9:35. On the ticket text, people are fixated on the inheritance question. That one is the messiest one.
Mm.
Texter says, it's funny how you're married and everything is our money. Then an inheritance is involved and it's my money. Texter says, that woman...
money equals emotion, especially death and family. It's like there's a lot more going on than just money.
Well, but she wants to use the money to retire early while her husband doesn't.
Slaves away.
Right.
Takes all the money.
But from her point of view, it's emotional because it's money from dad.
And the perspective, I think the person said, of like trying to like get the most out of your life, and maybe right. She doesn't want to be working, but you have to make the decision jointly.
Sure. Yeah, there needs to be much more communication than it sounds like has been going on.
And I think Helen would be like, you know what? Good for you.
Right.
Like, please go and retire. I don't know. There's a different, yeah. Looking at it that way too. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I feel strongly, if you share, you share.
Yeah.
Again, there is emotion attached to this. And it might be a decision that, hey, right now, because of the emotion and the inheritance and everything you got to do to first of all, get to the point where you actually inherit it, because it doesn't just happen overnight. There's a whole bunch of BS you got to go through, even if it's done the right way before somebody passes. In another year, in another 2 years, I think the emotion becomes more logical. And then I think there it may not happen right away, but I think there will be some sharing that does eventually happen.
Texter says that woman inheriting the money is selfish. Simple as that. You don't treat your spouse like that. That's terrible. Signed, Duffy. I do think it's selfish. They're married. They are sharing in life.
I could see that. There's an aspect of that. Sure.
Yeah. This one says, my parents retired at separate times. It's all about financial means. Yeah, I don't think most people retire at the exact same time,
no.
Right?
No.
So you got to figure it all out together. This one says, as an attorney, listening to your conversation about the inheritance, as long as the person who inherits the money keeps it in a separate account and never commingles it with marital assets, it would remain theirs indefinitely and not have to be split in a divorce. I don't know how true that is, but that's one attorney's interpretation.
Things get messy.
Yeah, that's why I said it could get pretty messy. This one says, holy cow, John and Heather's take on inheritance is insane. When you get married, you're a team. You share everything. If the man inherited the money and said he wants to retire while the wife works into her 50s and 60s, it would not go over nearly as well. Absolutely not.
Well, what were the decisions you made earlier in your marriage too? Like if you have kids, did mom stay home with the kids while dad went to work? I mean, that's something that is something, or vice versa. We see it now as well where dad sometimes stays home and mom goes to work. Like there's just a lot of things that, a lot of details about this relationship that we're not privy to. In regards to dad leaving, there's some on Twitch, and again, we encourage you to tune us, look at us if you want to see us, see what we look like, see what's going on in the studio here, twitch.tv.
What a sales pitch. Stare at us.
Yeah, on Twitch, why are people having kids with someone they don't trust to leave the kids with? This is not the first time I've heard this. Blows my mind. And then it continues. Other people are popping in. Mom goes away for the weekend and comes back to dad buying a trampoline for the kids. It's probably that kind of thing.
Exactly.
When mom's away,
yeah,
very different.
Yeah, the kids will play. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, John. The sales pitch of you can watch the show on YouTube and Twitch. You can stare at us.
We're
zoo animals.
So I actually said it was a two shot, and then I said, "Hey, you can see what we look like." And all of a sudden, somebody pops on Heather.
Oh, there we go.
Now they can see all three of us.
Quick phone call before the news, John. You're on 97.1.
Hey, man, this burns me up sometimes because I keep thinking about it. What if it was the other way around? Can you imagine? John, if you won $1 million and you told your wife, look, you keep working, I'm going to retire. Hell no. She would be like, get out of here. You're crazy. I'm not doing it. So when I look at it like that, it's a double standard set here because there's no way that you'll be able to retire like that and your wife to keep working. That's ludicrous. She wouldn't allow it. I don't know your wife would. I'm just saying in general that, you know, the chauvinistic world we live in, you know, even though women want to be equal, if this happened and you said, I want money, you keep working. You're probably in divorce court because that's not
going to
happen.
Well, okay, so you're changing the equation when you're talking about winning the lottery. I think that's a completely...
It's a windfall. It's a financial windfall.
But if my wife were to inherit money from her family, I would want her to determine what she would do with that. And if for her, it's, hey, she's going to retire. Part of it is I love my jobs.
Yeah.
And so I want to keep working. But if right. you didn't, if you hated your job, and I mean, there's other issues.
You get resentful if you didn't like your job and your partner was sitting
but I think
by the pool.
It does change. I think money is emotional.
Yeah.
And there is emotion when it is your dad that dies. Like, if that were to happen for my wife, I would, first of all, give her the time to make that decision. And then it's her family. It's her family's money. It's obviously going to benefit you in some way, shape, or form or another, but let her decide what she wants to do.
It does indirectly benefit you at the very least. Yeah. I understand that point. Texter, this is interesting. As a female, I think she's going to leave him. Oh. Call me a skeptic. That's the different take on the ticket text. She doesn't want to share because she's got an exit strategy.
Mm-hmm. Bum, yeah, bum, I know. Yeah. It's like she money. Money she don't know about.
All right, let's get to Heather's news.
I've never heard that.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah, she money. Money she don't know about.
How much money does Colin have squirreled away somewhere?
I don't know. I have no idea. We don't share bank
I
accounts.
I just blew your mind, didn't I?
I have no idea.
Yeah, so all his money is she money.
Apparently it is.
Yeah.
All my money is... My
he money.
Money,
yeah, money he don't know about.
Okay, he money, yeah, exactly.
John's had quite the segment. Either she money or, hey, see what we look like.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it.
Hold on, hold on.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Hey, you got to put those on, Stoney.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
right.
At least, okay, yeah. I'm going to, if you're watching on Twitch, want to see what we look like, here's Stoney doing a segment.
He always has his headphones super low over his face.
Why do they keep falling in my eyes?
My hair. All right, you guys, here's the news. Travis Kelce is setting the record straight when it comes to rumors that the Chiefs lost to the Broncos to keep the Bengals out. So during his New Heights podcast, he rejected the rumors and said he isn't scared of anyone.
Yep. Yeah, he must want to play Detroit.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a Walmart
Anywhere.
Parking lot.
Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, it had nothing to do with who gets in, who doesn't get in. I mean, to play a division rival at the end of the season, no one wants to get blown out or lose. It didn't matter to them. They already had the one seed.
Yeah.
There is, listening to this clip, there is something that I discovered that Travis Kelce, when he gets that kind of elevated voice, he does sound like someone that we know. It's a former NFL player. And John, you're familiar with him too. Now, I don't have the sound to comp
side.
With this, but... He kind of sounds like Strahan to me.
Oh, sure.
He does?
Yeah, Strahan just sounds like a whiny bitch.
A little bit, yeah.
That's a little bit of white Strahan there.
A little bit.
Could be.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I hear it. You're not crazy.
No, not at all. At least one Michigan football captain will return in 2025. Max Bredesen announced on social media Wednesday afternoon that he will not enter his name into the 2025 NFL draft, but rather return to Ann Arbor for a fifth and final season with the Wolverines. Made a social media post that said, Team 146, let's do it. Go Blue.
One of my favorite Wolverines of all time. Him and his brother. I mean, you know, to have two captains in the same family. Ben originally and now Max, but I love watching Max Bredesen play football. He is as old school. And the compliment that I used to love when I played was he could have played with me. You know, when some of the old timers would say that, I would have loved to have had Max Bredesen on our team. It would have been very Aaron Shea-esque.
I thought you were going to say the highest compliment you could have paid to someone is he's just a football player.
Yeah. Yeah. He's good at football. Yeah, no, he's a badass. Where Max Bredesen ball goes, the ball goes as well.
Finally, it is officially Girl Scout cookie season.
Yes!
Yes! And all the classics are going to be returning, but this will be the final run, the final year for two beloved cookies. This year is the final year for the S'mores cookies and the Toastiers. So, if those are your favorite, you might want to stock up, keep a freezer supply, because this is it. So, this is actually the first year the Girl Scouts have announced that a flavor is being discontinued, so that you do have some time to make sure you get your favorites in. But, of course, you can buy them anywhere, basically, now. And I love that because of social media, my friends are posting videos of their daughters selling them instead of, you know, going door to door like it used to be when I was little. They're just doing it online.
There's only one that matters.
Agreed. There's a couple.
It's the Samoas. And I mean, they could discontinue all the rest of them. I don't care. but I cannot wait. And with the new address, I'm just hoping that we get one of them that does actually go door to door.
That's so rare.
But it's so cool.
It is.
I love it when they knock on the door.
It is, but it's rare.
Yeah.
As long as they keep the Thin Mints, that's all that matters.
No, I don't. No. Did you freeze them?
Oh, I love them from the freezer.
They're the best from the freezer if you're going to do mine.
If you like eating toothpaste.
I've always loved the Tagalongs. Those are my favorites, but they don't put enough peanut butter in anymore. Like, I feel like they've downsized.
Oh, they're skimping you.
I feel like it.
It becomes your dipper. You get some peanut butter in a bowl.
Sure.
Dip it. Now you get to add your own.
That is good.
As much as you want.
That's a good idea.
That's what I do with the Thin Mints and toothpaste.
You dip them in peanut butter?
No, he dips them in toothpaste.
Oh.
The Thin Mints, yes. We'll explain all our jokes for you.
It's Heather with the news.
She's going away.
She's got the headphone visor. All right, coming up next, if Spielman takes the Jets job and he takes Glenn or Ben Johnson, which one do you hope he takes? It's 97.1. Today, Thursday, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson going to start their round of interviews all across the NFL. There are six openings, and maybe seven, depending on what happens with Dallas down the road. But Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are hot commodities, and they're not the only Lions personnel. Chris Spielman, who previously said he did not want to be a general manager, didn't feel he was qualified. Maybe that's changed. He's going to interview for the New York Jets open general manager job. And on first blush, we all need to get used to this. This is flattering. This is what happens when you have a good football team. Some people, it's not fair. We're not. This is what happens when you have a good football team. If Chris Spielman takes the Jets job, he may want to keep continuity with Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn. And our question to you is, if he leaves, who do you hope he takes between the two of them? 248-539-9797. We'll take those phone calls. We'll take those ticket texts. And for me, I would rather he take Aaron Glenn. The Lions' success is defined by their offense. Jared Goff's resurgence has been in this offense. If you lose Aaron Glenn, you will be compensated a third-round draft choice, and you keep the strength of the team offense. That's not a knock on Aaron Glenn. I think he's going to be a hell of a head coach. I think he's done a great job with very little on this defense. But if I could only keep one of the coordinators, I actually would keep Ben Johnson over Aaron Glenn. 248-539-9797.
I would probably err on the other side, where Aaron Glenn has done more with less. And I still think this is Dan Campbell's offense. We saw it with Anthony Lynn. Didn't like the way it was going. And it didn't get better that year when Dan Campbell, who had not, and admittedly, not been a play caller, his concepts, his offense, but hadn't been a play caller, there's certainly a rhythm to it. And Ben Johnson has a great rhythm to it, but I think it's all Dan Campbell's offense. It's his vision and it's his direction that Ben Johnson is following.
It's his offense. It's his principles. But Ben Johnson took it to another level. I mean, they've only hit higher heights. I mean, the creativity with some of these plays. I mean, maybe they're Dan Campbell designs for all we know.
Well, we've also heard all players could submit trick plays.
Right, but my point is a lot of this like rugby-style catch and toss and fun. Like Ben Johnson, I think, gets credit for that, right? The install, the offense that he's running. They aren't going to collapse if he leaves, but I'd love to keep the strength. We talk about it with the offensive line. It's the offense as a whole. Give me Ben Johnson with this O-line, with Jared Goff, and they're in it even with 22 guys injured. Like, the idea would be, okay, I don't want to lose Aaron Glenn, but I'll get Aiden Hutchinson back next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I, in theory, won't be this banged up next year on defense, and if I have this offense, I can keep humming the way I am.
And I would probably feel differently if Dan Campbell was a defensive-minded coach. He's an offensive-minded coach. This is his offense. It's his vision. And the vision wasn't coming to fruition with the first coordinator, so he replaced him. And now it's operating as Dan Campbell sees fit. Now it would be up to him to find somebody else that could operate under his parameters and his tutelage. But with Aaron Glenn, like I think it's more of a roll of the dice, because obviously Dan knows both sides of the ball. He knows special teams. It's tough to say that, you know, it's not his specialty. Let's just say it that way. So if he goes with a Robert Saleh or he goes with any other name that people have thrown out to replace Aaron Glenn, even though Aaron Glenn is still employed by the Detroit Lions, it's going to be more of a gamble because Dan's not going to have – it's not like he's going to fire the defense coordinator and take over defensive play calling.
Correct. So, but I trust Dan Campbell to fill out the defensive staff. Like, this is the bigger picture is I trust Dan Campbell if he loses these coordinators to keep the ship on its course. He hired Terrell Williams last year, a D-line coach from outside the organization, and it was seen as an upgrade hire. And I'm not telling you it's easy to upgrade from Aaron Glenn. My point is I trust Dan Campbell has connections outside of the Lions' walls and can bring good people into the organization. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well, and here's the thing. When you have good players on the defensive side of the ball, when you have a winning organization, there are going to be more coordinators that would probably look at, or more assistant coaches or coordinators that are currently not employed that would say, hey, Dan, you know, pick up the phone. Dan, how you doing, bud? Yeah. I'd like to interview for that job.
It's attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get a chance to pick from some of the best. And it doesn't mean you wouldn't have that same opportunity offensively. When you look at what Jared Goff has done, the weapons that are surrounded Jared Goff, the offensive line, and especially for anybody that would want to come into the Detroit Lions organization to be a play caller on either side of the ball, you're going to continue to get good players because Brad Holmes drafts so well.
I think another thing to watch for here is the rumors, and I stress they're rumors, and they weren't all accurate last year with Ben Johnson, but one of the rumors is that he wants, like any coach, continuity with the GM and the head coach. And if Chicago's bringing back Ryan Poles, and that appears to be what they're doing, and if Jacksonville's keeping Trent Baalke, appears to be what they're doing.
They didn't know that Chris Spielman might be looking.
That's where I'm going with this. Does that change the equation now where Ben Johnson and Spielman may team up somewhere, New York or otherwise? You know, does it open up more landing places for Ben Johnson? Or conversely, if Spielman doesn't get the Jets job and those GMs don't get let go, Glenn is maybe more portable than Johnson, who will be choosier, pickier.
Right.
And you may keep Ben Johnson from his own choices.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like Aaron Glenn's going to be gone. And again, you get an extra draft pick for Brad Holmes to tinker with in the draft.
There's a lot of moving parts, let's just say, because we just found out yesterday that Chris Spielman is going to interview with the New York Jets for their open spot as general manager. If he gets that job, I would think every Lions fan's antenna would go up and say, you know, who's he taking with him?
Yep.
Who's he taking from the front office? Who's he? Because he's not going to go in there blind.
No,
he's going to bring people that he trusts, and you're not going to be able to take everybody, but you want to take enough people so that you can instill the same culture there that you have here. And then what do you do with the coaching staff? Are you able to pry away Aaron Glenn or Ben Johnson because it's somebody that you have a relationship with? You know, going into it, this is what they like, this is what they don't like, this is how they want to operate. Here are the best players to work in their system. And now all of a sudden it does increase the odds that not only would you lose a coordinator, but you might lose a large part of the defensive staff along with it.
When you look at great teams, they lose coordinators. Mm-hmm. And I give you the example in college, Nick Saban damn near every year was swapping out an OC, a DC, or sometimes both.
Cost of doing business.
Andy Reid in the NFL, how many of his coordinators have left and Kansas City is Kansas City?
Yeah, some have left and come back.
Exactly. And you can't rule that out either. If Dan Campbell is the culture builder we say he is, if he's truly the coach of the year, if he's more than some meathead, which I think he is, he will continue to fill out this staff. They'll lose continuity if they lose one or both these guys. And it may take some time to get back up to this level if they lose these guys, but they're not going to fall off the face of the earth. They've got stability at head coach and general manager. So whether they lose Spielman or Johnson or Glenn, I want to stress to people, it's going to be okay.
That's why we're
new to this, but it's going to be okay.
You basically just defined the adjustment period.
Yeah.
The adjustment period offensively, I think, would be easier because it is Dan Campbell's offense, and the vision, the guidance, all of that stuff would be easier to have remain with some continuity versus on the defensive side.
Let's get to the phone calls. 248-539-9797. Jay in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
I would much rather Ben Johnson leave for two reasons. I don't think with the talent we got on offense, anything could derail this offense as far as like the level that they play at or the talent that we have on it. But on defense, I like the idea of having a guy that can work miracles with game plans, whether it's injuries or anything else. Aaron Glenn has shown that, you know, no matter what situation he's in, he can come up with something. Ben Johnson, we haven't had to, but we haven't seen him in a situation where it was injuries. Like, everything's worked perfectly for him this year for the most part. And the other reason why is I think Aaron Glenn's going to end up being a better coach. Like, I don't like the Jets, and I think Ben Johnson's a good offensive mind, but honestly, the one thing that separates this Lions team and the one thing that everybody, like, will want to create, I don't think he creates, which is the culture that Dan Campbell created where everybody run through a wall for him. So I think he'll end up being like a great X and O guy, offensive guy, but I don't think he's going to end up being, you know, as good a head coach as Aaron Glenn, because I feel like Aaron Glenn is more in the mold of Dan Campbell.
More the intangibles, right? More the
yeah.
Former player relates to former players, gets the most out of those guys.
Yeah.
Fiery. There's certainly an element of that with Aaron Glenn. Listen, the question was, if the Jets end up hiring Chris Spielman and they're interviewing Spielman, and Spielman wants to hire one of these Lions coaches, who do you hope he takes between the two? Yeah. 97.1.
Hey, America's favorite place to watch football, and really any sport, is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. And we've got some great moments just this weekend if you want to make a trip out there, and so many more coming up with March Madness on the horizon. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience absolutely built for us, the sports fans. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Ticket texters on all this coaching rumor. Next man up theory applies to the assistants too, John. They've got guys ready. They've been groomed to take over for Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn.
It's all part of the equation.
It's not a surprise that these guys are hot commodities. Ben Johnson was a year ago, and the job Aaron Glenn's done, it's undeniable. You get, the whole defense is injured. And he's put out some great game plans, and he's kept him in some games, and he's done a lot with a little. Former player, coordinator for a few years now, and seems to have the temperament to be a head coach. And with Ben Johnson, everybody's enamored with the Lions offense. It's what makes them go. And we asked you, if you're going to lose one of them, you may lose both, but if you're going to lose one of them, who's the one you'd rather lose? And we use the example of Chris Spielman interviewing with the Jets. It would make sense if he got a general manager job, he would look to hire one of those assistants. 248-539-9797. We've also got tonight, John, the kickoff of five straight nights of playoff football.
It's going to be amazing.
Now, did everybody on the show pick Notre Dame tonight? I think so.
Yeah, I think
yes,
so.
Greg is giving us the thumbs up. Everybody took the Irish tonight.
Not surprising. And it's, I think some of it is, it's the defensive matchup. There's Catron Allen, Singleton, you know, Drew Allar. Like, the offense has some weapons for Penn State. For Notre Dame, sure, they've got offenses, they got weapons offensively, but it really comes down to what their defense has been elite almost all season, save that NIU game. And so I think that's a lot of what people are looking at. And then you take a look at the biggest question mark coming into the season was you lose Alt in the draft. You lose a couple of players. They've got freshmen that have stepped in or young players that have stepped in on the offensive line and have grown throughout the course of the year but are playing very well.
John, I remember when you picked the Texas A&M Notre Dame game and you said freshman, sophomore,
right.
Junior.
Yeah,
and those guys are playing well.
They're playing really well. And so that, again, defensively for Penn State, they've got some talent over there. They are really a talented defense. But I think the Notre Dame team is a better team. It's a better coach team. And I think they're gonna get it done.
And when Notre Dame is in a little bit of trouble or they need 5 or 6 yards to pick up a third down or get into a more comfortable field goal range, they go to Riley Leonard with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I think it's going to be a low-scoring, closer game. These are two good defenses. So then you look at things like the quarterback. I don't think either has become a polished passer like they would have liked. But one, Riley Leonard, can extend plays with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And coaching, you mentioned the coaching edge. Do I really trust James Franklin as an underdog in a top 10 matchup? I mean, I don't even have to pull the numbers up. You guys know it's going to be a small number and then a big number. Yeah. Very few wins, a lot of losses. I don't think they're going to get separation on the outside. I don't think Aller's going to hit big shots down the field. I think they're going to get bogged down and Notre Dame can stop the run. And I trust them to make one or two more plays, critical third down red zone, and win the game.
And special teams.
Yeah.
We saw, I mean, the way that they came out of the second half, last week, it's clearly that they have an advantage at special teams as well. If you could take it to the house, that's always a threat.
Five nights of football. Tonight, you get the Orange Bowl. What?
Oh, no, I'm agreeing with you. I'm like, yeah. I was just taking a sip of my drink. You said, hey, it's five nights of football. Hell yeah. The last night I sat in bed flipping through the channels, and I mentioned I was stuck watching college basketball, USC and Indiana.
Why were you watching that?
Well, because I like watching sports.
I know, but of all things, like how late were you
Greg,
up?
You raised your hand.
John, I'm wondering if you are running into this problem, and Jim, I can ask you this as well. Like, Michigan played USC over the weekend, got a big road win.
Right.
I'm used to Michigan-USC football conference game. I'm used to that.
Yeah.
Michigan-USC basketball, I'm not used to that being a conference game now.
No. And USC, obviously Indiana, not thinking it's a conference game. Obviously it is.
Conference game.
Yep.
My brain, we're just into January and it's all conference play at this point. So it makes the transition a little easier.
Sure. But yeah, I mean, I'm just looking for sports to watch. And the Pistons game,
they wrapped up at before 10 o'clock.
But the thing about the Pistons game was it was, in a good way, wasn't intriguing.
Yeah.
They had that under control. All right. I could change the channel, see what else is on. And there's no college football. There's no NFL football. I was so disappointed. It kind of hit me. And then as I said it out loud to Lisa, I'm like, I'm so disappointed that there's no football on. She said, it's Wednesday. During the football season, there was nothing on Wednesday night either. I know, but part of it was the anticipation of five nights of playoff football.
Yeah. Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, other way around. Orange Bowl, then Cotton Bowl, and then all the NFL stuff all weekend long. So
Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
We'll have picks tomorrow on the big games. We've already picked some of the college games.